Well, good morning. It's good to have you here. We just wanted to give you a minute. We know that people are still coming in, and we wanted to be sensitive, especially to the family members of those who are making communion. So we want you to wanted to make sure that everybody would get in and be settled. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Vincent Linguidi, and I just want to welcome you here today. It is just a very exciting time in the lives of our children, and it has just been wonderful to see them and to see their excitement and their joy and their anticipation for today. To watch them take this step in their faith is a gift, and just to share it with one another is just a very special time in the family here of the lives of the people of the Patchwork Church of the Nazarene. So in a moment, we're going to get into worship, but right now, I want to take this moment with you to bow our heads and to pray and ask God's blessing upon the service. Let's do that. Our Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for always remembering us. Thank you for always caring. Thank you for a watchful eye upon our lives each and every day. Lord, today we want to take this moment to acknowledge you, and we want to thank you for this occasion, for this time that we observe, oh God, the taking of the Lord's Supper, your supper. Father, we pray, O God, your blessing upon each and every child today, O God. Lord, I pray that you would visit us in a very fresh and renewing way. Lord, I pray, O God, for those of us who are struggling, Lord, that you would meet us where we are, that you would wrap your arms around us, Lord, that we would feel welcomed in by your presence. Lord, I thank you for our visitors today. I pray each and every one would hear from you, would sense your love, would experience your presence, Lord, in a very new and refreshing way, O God. Lord, we take this time. Week after week, it is always your time. Today, we acknowledge that once again. And Lord, we offer this moment, this time, and our hearts to you. Lord, in gratitude to you for all that you have done for us, O God, we want to say thank you. Lord, now take the worship of your people and find it pleasing, for we offer it up to you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together and worship the Lord? From the rest. So in a moment, very short time from now, we're going to have the children presented to you and their testimonies read to you. And then after we take communion today, I want to encourage you to stay and come downstairs. We have a beautiful cake for them, and we'd like to share that time of fellowship with you and to bless the children and to be in their presence. So this morning, I want to briefly share from God's Word something that was written by someone who was greatly, greatly affected by his relationship with the Lord. And Paul wrote to a church that he had established. In other words, God moved him to plant the church, and he was now taking them another step further in their faith and teaching them about the sacrament of communion and the Lord's table. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 23, from 23 to 26 in English Standard Version. And this is what Paul says to the church there in Corinth. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered, in other words, passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, for many of us, this might be a familiar portion of Scripture, or the experience of doing communion and going to the Lord's table is an experience that we are familiar with. But I want to take a moment to share with you the person who said it, the person who recorded, the person who was delivering it, and the person who was passing it on. Because when you take into consideration this man's life, it takes on such a powerful meaning. We're listening to a man's words who was someone who was, if I could say it this way, driving in the wrong direction down a one-way street. And ultimately, his life would come in a collision course with the living God. Many today think that if they come in contact with the living God, that something awful might happen. How many times people say, oh, I'll come and visit you at church, but you know, I might, the ceiling might drop down on me when I walk in the building, or I might get struck by a bolt of lightning, or something terrible might happen. And I always love to tell them, that's the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, God is waiting for everyone with open arms. He welcomes everyone. Paul had this collision course. When he did, by the way, his name was Saul. And why this was so powerful and so meaningful was that this man was a hater, as we would say in our own language today. He was opposed to the church, to the name of Christ. He sought after and pursued and even had people jailed, and one in particular stoned to death for his faith. And when he came in contact with the Lord, Christ turned his whole life around, changed the direction of his life, began to heal what was broken, because nobody does the things that he was doing without having something broken inside. Have you ever come across someone who you didn't understand what made them tick? How they might be so curt or cool or hard? You know, at times we can take that personal, but I want to say to you, it's not a personal thing. Quite often, if we were to reflect, we would wonder, I wonder what's going on in that person's life. There was a lot going on in Paul's life, but God turned it around, and God healed his life and used his life, gave it purpose, gave it meaning. And now Paul is taking that meaning, and he's giving it to a very young church, a church that was just coming along, and he was expressing something, something that was of joy, that was of power, that was of significance, that made a difference in his life, that was passed on to him, graciously given to him, and now he wanted to do the same. And isn't that with any of us? Any of us who have something good in our lives, don't you want to share that, whatever it is? You want to pass it on, you want to share it, because it's made a difference in your life. The hope is that, hey, maybe this will make a difference in your life or in their life. And so Paul passes it on, and he remembers that the one he hated, that the one he pursued, that the one he despised, the one who caused conflict within his own life and heart, he remembered that same person on a particular night when he was being betrayed, took the time out to remember those his father gave him. And he sat down and had a meal with them, and he broke bread. And when he broke bread, it was significant because it represented that his body was about to be broken. When he drank from the cup, it represented that soon his blood would be spilled for the sins of the entire world. Think about the effect that that had on Paul's life. He went from this to this. Oh God, how could you love me? I really do think that that was the fuel behind Paul's life, throughout his life, that God would take such a great sin that was directed directly at the throne of heaven and forgive him I mean, could there be anything worse? You know, quite often in our humanness, we think, oh, God can't forgive that. I said this to that person, or I acted this way, or I remember years ago. You ever think back? Ever be driving down the road and all of a sudden you remember something that you did that was cutting? You go, I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe I did that. Doesn't matter. What that God would take our slates or the notebook of our sins and he would tear those pages out and throw them in the fire and burn them and rid us of them once for all. That was the kind of love that Paul received from Christ. The impact that it had on his life, how it turned his life around, and he was now taking that moment and he was sharing it with others. Because once they came into the family of faith, he wanted to make certain that they knew day in and day out that their sins were forgiven, wiped clean, never to be revisited, never to be reminded of. But what he did want them to be reminded of was his great love. So when you break this bread, do it in remembrance of me. When you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. Paul could say that and pass it on because every time he did, he was reminded of God's great love for him, how God visited him and changed his life completely around. That is the hope that we have today. Soon our children will enter into the communion service with us and for the first time take. And in doing so, Paul says that they become part of a community. Not that they aren't a part of the community already, for they are, but they are taking another step in their faith further into the family. And they, in turn, as young as they are going to be a part of a community that proclaims each and every time that we take communion the goodness of God and what he's done. Without saying a word, just by their actions, they become a part of a community that says, this is what God has done for us. This is what God has done for me. And they proclaim until he returns. And I want to close on that note with you today. You see, we often think of the supper and communion. We understand the pain that was put out in it, you know. We can go to different churches, and in some churches, when we look up at the cross that's up in the front of a sanctuary, we see an image of Christ hanging on it, reminding us of the price that he paid for our sins. And then you can come into a church like our own, and behind the screen here, we have a bare cross. And it's to remind us the other side of the coin, which is that Christ not only died, but he rose. And I want to say to you, one image complements the other. They go hand in hand. In our hearts and minds, we should place them side by side. Both are speaking the words of life, that his body would be broken and his blood would be poured out for our sins, but that he was removed from the cross. And not only was he removed from the cross, but he walked from the grave. And not only did he walk from the grave, but he ascended into heaven. And the hope we have every time we break bread and drink together is to remember that that's what Christ has done for us. And we do it until his return, because that's the next great hope and visit. That one day, we will all, by faith in him, see his face and come into a physical relationship with him. Right now, everything we do is by faith. None of us have seen him with our eyes. But in our hearts, we have chosen to believe. And I want to today, you have an opportunity. If you haven't done in your life already, is to take a step. If you've never taken it before, to take that first step and to believe that someone loves you so much that regardless of what you've done, what you've said, what you're thinking, or what's going on in your mind, that he loves you in spite of that. And he would like to change it all and speak words of life into you. And then have you, understanding that love, become a lover as well. Because that's what he did with Paul's life. He transformed his, God transformed his life in a way that no one else can do it. You know, quite often we think it's impossible for people to change. And I want to say, for the most part, you're right. But don't leave God out. Because the life that we think is impossible to change, God can change. And there are many of you that sit in the sanctuary this morning can testify to that, can witness to that, to say, yeah, I used to be like this, but then Christ came into my life and he changed it. I used to live this way, but Christ came in and changed the direction of my life. And now I'm living this way. That's the hope that we have. So today, in a little while, when we take it, I want to say to you that if you are a visitor here today, the only thing that you need to do to join us in communion, because all are welcomed. If I can simplify it, if you believe, you can receive. In other words, if you are inviting Christ in, even for the first time, Lord, come into my life, because I believe in what you're doing and what you have done, then the table is open to you. If you attend another church, you are welcomed, because the key is just a belief in him, because as we prayed this morning, it's all about him. It'll always be all about him, and you are welcomed. You're welcomed. I want to pray a brief prayer, and then I'm going to have Miss Liz come up. She's our children's ministry director, and she is going to introduce and present the children to you. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we take this opportunity once again to open up our hearts to you, to believe, oh God, that you are present and that you want to do a new thing in each of our hearts, whether we have been at this thing called faith for a good many years, or maybe we've just come on board, or maybe something has caught our attention and you have poked our heart and saying, I love you. Lord, whatever it is, oh God, we open ourselves to you, Lord, and we take this time to acknowledge you, and we ask, oh God, that you would do a new thing in each of us, oh God. Lord, that you would express to us your great love and that we would have an awareness and be able to receive all that you have for us. We pray these things and we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Miss Liz, come.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's been a long time since we've had our first communion ceremony, and I'm excited to see everybody here. Thank you, parents, for coming out and supporting the children. They worked hard over the course of 5 weeks. They not only learned what communion is, why it's important, but most importantly, they learned that Jesus loves them no matter what. So, and it's just been exciting over the how many years that I've been in this ministry and just working with the children, just how much they have grown in their faith in the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And it makes the challenges worth it all the time. Teaching this class has blessed me. The kids bring so much joy and excitement to each lesson. I was amazed when I brought to the one of the lessons, I asked, gave them an opportunity to invite the Lord into their hearts. And when I asked them, how many of you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? So many of them shot their hands up in the air and said, I do. I believe in Jesus Christ. And that is amazing to see, especially so young in them. And another blessing that I experience is while typing up their testimonies, all of them have said their desire to grow closer to the Lord. So I cannot wait to see over the years what the Lord will accomplish in their lives. And I also want to take a moment to thank the parents for your commitment to the children, your commitment to the church, and for bringing them every Sunday, whether it was communion or just Sunday school. Just we see a difference in their lives. And they're also amazing kids. From pre-K to pre-teen, this is a wonderful group of children. They are respectful, they're kind, they're funny, they're talented, and they have a hunger for the Lord. And it's because of your commitment as parents, and you're doing an amazing job. I'm not a parent. I can only imagine the uphill battle of trying to not only just raise a child, but to raise them to love the Lord, and you're doing a great job. So I'm going to ask the congregation, as each child and family is called up, just to fix in your minds who they are, and please continue to pray for them because they're going to need it. And just so you parents know that you have my support and the pastor's support as well. Anytime you need prayer or anything, we're always here and available for you. And also for partnering with me. I couldn't have done this by myself. This is not a solo effort. I've had parents teach for me. I've had parents monitor. I've had parents come alongside me during this course so that just everything can run smoothly. And I thank you very much for that. And we'll always keep you in prayer because prayer accomplishes the impossible. So as I call each child forward, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity, families, to take a picture. Just be mindful of the people around you. And let's begin. Can I please have Matthew Batsikos? Okay. My name is Matthew Batsikos. I live in Selden with my mommy, daddy, sister Michaela, and brother Damon. I love art, playing basketball, and reading. When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut. Communion is important to me because it helps me remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. He showed us how to remember him through communion, and it is a good way to celebrate what he has done for us. I want to receive communion because Jesus has done so much for me. I want to always remember how much he loves me. I love Jesus because he has helped me through some very tough times in my life. Jesus helps calm my fears, helps me to be a good person. I love Jesus so much, and I know Jesus is with me every day. Nisa Buscanin? Oh, Baskunin, sorry. Forgive me. Hi, you ready? Okay. My name is Nisa Baskunin. I am 8 years old and I live in Shirley with my dad, mom, brothers Avery, Jason, and Mason. I love baking, baseball, and art. When I grow up, I want to be a baker. I want to take communion because I want to remember that God is in my life. Taking communion is important because Jesus died on the cross for us and he loves everybody. I love Jesus because he has blessed us with our parents, friends, and he made the world for us. Okay. Can I have Nicholas Franco step forward?
Nicholas!
Yeah! You ready? My name is Nicholas Franco. I am 7 years old and I live in Mastic with my mom, dad, and brother Nate. I love gym, playing soccer, and building with Legos. When I grow up, I want to be a computer programmer. I want to take communion because I want to remember that Jesus loves us and died on the cross for our sins. I love Jesus because he forgives our sins and protects us when we are afraid. Can I have Chiara Fasano please step forward? My name is Chiara Fasano. I am 11 years old and I live in Mastic Beach with my parents, brother Robinson and sister Karai. I love just gymnastics, singing, and cheerleading. When I grow up, I want to be a veterinarian. I want to take communion because I want to show that I believe in God. Communion is important because it represents how God died for us. I love Jesus because he died for us. Also, I am thankful that he healed my ankle so I can go back to gymnastics. All right, Paige. You can hold my hand. I'm nervous too. It's okay. My name is Paige Innes. I am 9 and a half. I live in Patchogue with my mom, dad, sister Mia, and my dog Mona. She is a Jack Russell, and she's the cutest thing in the world. I love playing the flute, cheerleading, drawing, and helping my friends and family. When I grow up, I want to be a teacher. I want to take communion because I want to remember what Jesus did for us, and it is important because he died for our sins. I love Jesus because he made everything, gave us a place to live, and blessed us with friends and family. Thank you. Is Enzo Canales here? Yeah, there he is. Come on up. Okay. My name is Enzo Canales. I am 8 years old, and I live in Farmingdale with my mom, dad, brother, and sister, Chris and Natalia. I love playing Pokemon cards, art, reading, and when I grow up, I want to be an archaeologist. It is important to take communion so we can remember that Jesus died on the cross for us and that he loves everybody. I love Jesus because he made the world for us, blessed me with my parents, and he is in my life. Good job. Miss Olivia DeVito. Ready? My name is Olivia DeVito. I am 9 years old, and I live in Brookhaven with my mom, dad, my pet fish, and gerbil. I love gymnastics, reading, drawing, and relaxing. So do I. When I grow up, I want to be an artist. I want to take communion because I want to remember that Jesus died on the cross and remember his words during the Last Supper. Communion is important because he died for us, and we should be thankful because we are forgiven. I love Jesus because he always loves me, he died for my sins, and he is always there for me. Mackenzie Laspisa. My name is Mackenzie Laspisa. I am 11 years old. I live in Patchogue with my mom, dad, and sister, Tori. I love to play basketball, and one day I want a ball python for a pet. When I grow up, I want to be a herpetologist, which is the study of reptiles. The reason I want to take communion is because I want to remember God, learn more about him, and why he died on the cross. I want to be closer to God. Taking communion is important so I can put my trust in God and remember that he died on the cross. I love Jesus because he is always there for me during the rough times, and when I am down, he will lift me back up. All right. Last but not least, Joshua Herman. You ready, kiddo? My name is Joshua Herman. I am 8 years old, and I live in Holbrook with my mom, dad, and brother Timmy. I love art, playing hockey, and video games. When I grow up, I want to be a police officer. The reason why I want to take communion is because it is the right thing to do, that I should follow Jesus and be thankful. Communion is important because we remember the Last Supper and how Jesus died on the cross for us. I love Jesus because he died for our sins, forgives, and guides me. Thank you. And that's a wrap.
Don't you feel better now? Josh, what happened with the Legos? Why wasn't that on your list, man? I'm like totally shocked.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right. What a beautiful group of children we have, do we not? It's at this time I want to take a moment for us to just pause. And I want to say to you again that all are welcomed. But for any reason, if you feel at all uncomfortable or for any reason that you can't take, we just ask that when the elements come by that you would just pass them by and on to the next person. All right? Let's take this time out. I'm going to call those who are going to be helped serving communion to come up. With that, let us remain in an attitude of prayer. Our Father, this morning, we acknowledged that this is a sacrament that you have given to us, O Lord, to be observed, to be practiced, to be celebrated. Lord, we are grateful to have the opportunity to share this, or as Paul said, to deliver this or pass on to your children. Lord, today as we take, O God, may we remember what you said when you brought small children into your presence and blessed them, that the kingdom of God is made up of such children. Lord, help us to have the hearts of a small child, to be open, to be willing, to accept your kindness, your goodness, and your love. Lord, we have heard the testimony of our children, and they speak volumes to us, oh God. Lord, I pray today as we go that we would just cherish their words and remember this day and count our blessings. In Christ's name, amen. Would you please stand with me? It is a custom in our church, and I failed to mention this before the elements were given out, so please forgive me if you've already taken. I apologize for that. It's a custom in our church that we love to take together as often as we possibly can. As we have heard a few times today, on that night when the Lord was betrayed, while spending time with his close friends, those who he was with and spent day in and day out with them, slept and ate and traveled with them, he sat at the table and he expressed how important it was and how meaningful it was on him on that evening and how long he had waited to share this moment with them. In fact, he said it was a passion of his, that he looked forward to doing this. That on this night, he took bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. All of you, take it and eat." And then we are told that after the supper was over, he once again picked up the cup. This time it would just not be a casual sip, but it would represent what he was about to do. That he was setting forth a new covenant, a new commitment with the people of God that would be formed throughout the world. And he said, "This is the cup of my blood, a new covenant for you. It's for the forgiveness of all our sins. Let us take and drink together." Father, we thank you for this. We praise you. We exalt your name. We want to sing your praises. Christ, we love you. Let us continue to worship the Lord. Pastor John. Pastor John's going to come, and along with Janet, going to lead us in a closing hymn. Thank you, Pastor John.
There's a song on page 268 of your hymnal that, these are the words of it. "Out from the grave he came with grace and majesty, he is alive." We're going to sing the last verse of that, which is, "Out from the tomb he came with grace and majesty, he is alive." If you know the words of that song, I want you to sing it with me. It will not be up on the front, but there is a hymnal, page 268, if you want to sing with me. Let's sing it together.
It is. All right.
"Out from the tomb he came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his sign. Yes, we know he is alive. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. it one more time. Affirm it.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Before we go downstairs to enjoy a time together, I want to ask Miss Liz, come up. On behalf of the entire church and the families and the children, we want to present you with this small token of our appreciation and our love for you. Thank you for your commitment to the children. Thank you for making it happen and giving your all. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're dismissed. I would love to be able to spend some time downstairs around the cake and coffee. God bless you. I'm glad you could make it today.